once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing animal orientation. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is 877-876-5227. And this is a free phone number from wherever you are, 877-876-5227.
Well, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us and our work, and also, of course, our CDs, which are now on sale, and our books, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. We'll also soon actually be doing Akashic Record readings as well. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And Sylvie will explain a little more, because I'm going to go and prepare to go into trance now, basically fall asleep. So, all the rest of you, have a great show.
Thanks, Mick.
Thank you, and good night.
Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, as Mick said, and they consist of scientific minds of all descriptions, along with ordinary people. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information, well, information that we need to know, hopefully, in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. They hope to help us to understand the nature of our existence and save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. Our method of spirit contact is a very pure and precise method of spirit communication, because apart from the fact that we've been doing this for many years, Mick spent a long time developing his gift of trance to a very high standard before we even went public with it. And as we say to people who are developing mediumship, this is the essence of good mediumship. It's the development. Long, slow development and continuous development. He's still developing. We all are. Okay. Well, what happens is Mick's spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group while he's in trance, so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means that there is no room for errors, because interpretation just doesn't come into it. You have 100% personality of Gregory Hay. So once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, the number to call is 877-876-5227. Hello, Gregory. I know you're here.
Hello, dear Finn.
Hello.
Hello. Once again, of course, it is with the utmost love that we are here, and we are so happy and thrilled and honored, of course, be able to speak to you in this way, using the instrument as we are able, and communicating as we feel heartfelt and necessary information to those on your side of life.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so this week's show is about animal orientation.
Yes.
Okay, well, take it away.
Thank you so, my dear friend, little bird. How kind of you. Animal orientation is just that, the orientation of how animals are in the spirit world in relation to their physical presence upon the earth plane. Many people perhaps have decided for themselves that animals are too low in the dominion of species to actually perhaps even have a thing called a spirit, or have the possession of something which is ulterior to the physical state of life. This simply is not true.
and the aspect that we wish to bring to the listener's understanding is the very fact that all animals, if they have conscious appreciation of what we determine as being one and one, that is, that they are consciously aware of actions and activities they are doing, either in preparing for that activity or carrying it out by way of understanding movement, activity, and the occasion of responsibility of what happens, in other words, to them if they do this or that activity. Having a conscious mind is not the only thing, but it certainly helps to have a conscious mind if you are a part of the relationship of spirit. So does this mean then that amoeba or other such creatures, single-celled organisms, do not have spirit at all? Well, in answer to this simple question, it really means that the species of being, which is amoeba, merely has a collective. It is not that that collective has yet reached the understanding through its limitation of physical state that it is actually able to process the situation of one and one. Yes, we are aware that it understands food, it senses food through its susceptible skin. It understands where food is and therefore devours it. But that is the limit of its understanding. It understands pain as well and will recoil from this. So there is a position of sensibility which is on a pathway toward consciousness, but not complete. It means it cannot actively create a conscious decision about what to do in its life, whether to go necessarily forward or backward, although you will see that by inflicting it with pain, it will recoil, which is actually a motor sensory decision. It isn't something that it has a conscious mind to make, that decision. So that is the basis of how you can determine whether a being has a spirit. So in this advantage, then, you can quite honestly say that many amphibians have spirit. Frogs and toads, newts and salamanders most certainly will have forms of spirit. So too will birds, and so too will many forms of fishes. Though not all. Sea urchins have a very difficult to determine spirit, in that they, once again, similar to amoeba, share a collective. They are also parts of the whole, that is, if you prod one of these forms with a prong or something like that, it will recoil, and it will actually, in this recoil, send a sensory message to others in the colony that it is being attacked in some way. So you could say that there is a conscious memory or an understanding of an interaction between itself and other beings of a similar form or the same form. That is actually because its vibration is of a similar intent, and that is why and how it is able to communicate through this sensory way. Much of it is pheromonic, of course, bringing about that it actually releases a chemical reaction to the prodding that you are giving it. So what of other animals then? The beings perhaps that you interact with in your life, rats, mice, voles, perhaps that you have in captivity, perhaps even lizards and snakes, as I say, they too have a sense of spirit. They have spirit, are spirit, are in fact perfect in their form. You may at some time or another feel a certain attachment toward one of these animals, and
it is obvious that this attachment is not necessarily something that you grow up to receiving, although it may be, and I understand that people's affections toward animals can begin from a very early age, something which is a learned behavior rather than something which is absolute behavior. That is, something which has come to develop of the actual being state and become a part of that being and its presence. So you may have a child, for example, who immediately understands rationale behind a bird's life. Perhaps it's a particular way of nesting, or its habits may absolutely be intrinsically bound to a particular species or a particular type of form of animal on your side of life. It may be horses, or, as I say, birds. It can be frogs or toads or lizards or something like that. Where has this relationship come from? Particularly with the degree of interest that they have at that time. Well, I have to say, my dear friends, that where this comes from is it comes from the divine. The interest that you have is an innate quality, a part of your spirit, the relationship of your spirit from before you had a physical journey. Many of these relationships are developed in the spirit world, in fact. In exactly the same way as you will have developed relationships to do with people, to do with other beings whom you may meet in your physical journey on Earth from your soul group. And you will explain this away. You will find this relationship and actually determine it as being someone from your soul group, your soulmate. This may be either someone of the same gender or someone of the opposite gender. It doesn't mean to say that you have changed your orientation, dear friend. It may be that brother and brother have this endearing quality between them that extends beyond the brotherly love that they have. Perhaps they talk in a different language at some stage in their life between one another, and this is really an extension of how they are, how they were in the spirit world before they had a physical life, purely because of the engagement of this rationale, this understanding, this genuine, heartfelt, and very real harmonic, which exists as a part of the spirit world, specifically in the soul group. Now, with animals, what of them? What of their understanding and their distinction of who they are and what they are? A dog most rightly sees itself as a dog. It also sees sometimes that it is a being which is higher than other dogs. Particularly, that will have a situation to do with how it is treated. It isn't something which comes from the spirit world to say that it is higher than something else. It is a perception that is brought on by environmental exchange. It is a taught or a learned behavior. You may have animals who interact with one another, and their situation is not necessarily to do with their species type or form. For example, you may have something that otherwise in wildlife would have reacted against one another, perhaps a dog and a rabbit, for example, that would ordinarily, you would have the dog chasing the rabbit to eat it. It is food, after all.
Yeah.
And yet, at times, particularly in a domestic situation, you will have domesticated versions of these animals living quite happily side by side. You would still perhaps be a little aware, or should be a little aware, of whether to leave the rabbit and the dog together unattended. As they, it may be true to type and form that the dog, no matter how lovely it is, they still revert back to type. So, animals in the spirit world and where they go is to do with the relationship of who they are, of course, in the physical reality. Animals in the wild, once they have done with their life or something has caused their life to end, will return to the soul group from whence they have come. So a particular species, shall we say a buffalo, comes from the soul group of buffalo, which is actually linked to other groups as well. It doesn't mean to say that because of this linking through their genetics, through their ancestry of type and form, that it necessarily means that buffalo will always be buffalo and nothing else. They will gradually evolve, gradually mutate, although their genetic strain and orientation remains very strong and will most probably continue in a very similar form. They will only mutate very slightly, unlike human beings, who mutate a great deal from one generation to another. Your face is not like the face of other beings, necessarily. And that is a particular genetic imposition, a part of the mutation form which has come about, which actually helps to define you as being a different being from someone else, which is quite useful. On the other hand, of course, you may observe birds or animals in their kingdoms and find it most difficult to tell them apart, one from another. And yet they can tell each other apart in just the same way as you can with your facial descriptions.
Yes.
They may have different hair colouring or something like that, something which is just slightly different that helps them to tell one another apart. Also, of course, they have animal sensory awareness, which is something completely different from human type and form. So in the spirit world, you would have perhaps, as I say, various different species, all emanating from their specific soul group. So you may have all of these different forms of dog then. Do they all return back to their very specific species identity within the species of dog, that is their family group type? A chihuahua, would you think, would necessarily return to the soul group of greyhound or the soul group of wolf, from whence all species of dog have originated? Well, actually, of course, they actually originated way back in the time of the dinosaurs, when animals of a very similar form to a dog first began. And these forms actually only flourished up until the time it was that dinosaurs actually became bipedal, and at which time they died out. So what of that extinction then? Does it mean to say that I believe it was called a pterodon or something like that? Mm-hmm. I understand that when a species dies out and becomes extinct from physical Earth, that it continues in its way in the spirit world. It continues to develop and generate mutation of a form, although not in the purest way, because it doesn't have the physical ability to mutate cells as it would have done had it continued in physical state reality. So I diverse. I'm really trying to bring in all of these different strands of the different facets of genetic mutation in physical time, space, reality, and how it is that these mutations actually have a connotation, an effect in the spirit world. After all, if there was not this mutation, you would all merely belong to the same soul group, man, including flies and bugs and fish and birds and everything. If you did not have this aspect of separation, not necessarily that this aspect comes about solely through the inclusion of mind or consciousness, but that it does obviously play a part. It raises the vibration, perhaps, to some, although it is not necessarily that human beings have a vibration which is above another animal. In fact, there are other animals who are upon your planet living at this very time, which have a higher vibration than you. Dolphins and whales, for example. Swans as well, as it happens, have a higher vibration because they have a closer harmonic to the Earth than you do. You, as human beings, have to work at your harmonic. It isn't something which comes readily, whereas swans, for example, do not fight in gangs or groups, whereas humans do. Therefore, this is something which diminishes a human's harmonic responsibility and responsiveness to the Earth.
That's an interesting, that's something very interesting for people to understand. It's a different way of trying to get your head around the situation of a higher vibration and the association with animals and how this comes about.
Yes, we try to please. The point is, you see, that I understand that many people then would cite that a group of wolves, because they hunt in a pack, does that mean then they must be of a lower caste, a lower vibration? The problem is that human beings are so intent on putting types and labels and forms upon any particular species and say, well, this form of behavior means that it is this, when that is not actually describing the whole picture of the creature. So you have to put it into context of how they are able to survive in the wild, in the situation of not actually having fingers and thumbs and being able to type emails or send one another letters. They aren't able to build houses themselves in the way that you can. So they have to make do with the wild genetic situation they have been born into. Now, in this way, then, of animal orientation, you actually then have a group of wolves, and it does not mean to say that they will then go to the same soul group as all other dog beings, that is, chihuahuas, what other animal form it is, Labradors, whatever you have. Although I would have to say that Alsatian dogs, German shepherds, and other dogs very similar to that of natural wild state will actually move back to their own habitat, their own kingdom, which is that of the soul group of wolf. And it is actually because it is closer to that soul group than to its own genetic group. It hasn't genetically moved that far away from what a wolf is. You understand?
Yes, yes.
And in that way, its genetic type and form doesn't really mean to say that it needs to be that far removed, whereas other animals perhaps who respond in a more domesticated way, a more genetically manipulated way in which they have been brought to survive or have that particular attribute in their physical state, means that they are quite far removed away from their originator.
And visually you can see it anyway, can't you?
Yes, quite so, yes. And so it will be that your pet, your beloved pet, who is an Alsatian or German Shepherd, who is perhaps a Labrador even, which is also quite close to that form and type of wolf, will also be in the same soul group. So does this mean then that the love that you give to your pet will be consumed by the soul group and that your pet will not return, will fail, perhaps in, as you see it, perhaps your that what you have given to the pet will somehow never come back to you? Well, it will, of course. Once your pet has passed, if your pet was from this group, it will return to you. It will come back to you, and it will return because of the love vibration that has passed between you. That is what has created the bond between you and is what continually draws the animal toward you, perhaps because of your longing for it, or perhaps in times of need. for both of you. It may be that your animal is in a time of need and wishes to be near you again, to have that sensory awareness as a spirit form. And there is no reason why it cannot do that.
We have a caller online. They're on.
Hey.
Okay, they're online with you.
Hello, Gregory. Hi, Sylvie. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Can you speak
Hello,
up,
friend.
John?
I'll try. Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. There's several famous human beings, but are there any individual animals that have names that should get more fame, be recognized?
Hear that?
Yes, friend. Particular animals, why did they have names of that particular type and form, you mean, friend?
Like in television, there's a famous monkey called Gonzo and a dolphin called Flipper. But are there any, like, saints in the animal kingdom?
Oh, I see, friend. Do they actually have specific names in the animal kingdom of where they are from their soul group?
No,
do they name
like
each other?
And do they name each other?
The other animals know them as, or God gave a certain animal a name?
Well, the point to remember, dear friend, is that the family of dog was named by a human being. The family of any other mutation of animal has been named by a human being. It doesn't mean to say that that is the name or that it regards itself by, if in fact it has a regard or a necessity or an understanding even to want to identify itself by that. It may identify itself, of course, by the name that you have called it. It only recognizes the name because you have given it that in association with the food response, so it is actually responding to its environment. It isn't necessarily responding to its name because it knows it or because it feels it within its system that it is that being. You understand? So perhaps if you had a dog's name and it was Ben or something like that, does it know who Ben is? Does it relate to what Ben is? Ben might be some other thing, according to a dog, other than the name that you have given it. It may relate to some other inanimate object or some other object that it sees in its life that you are unaware of at this present time, because you are not necessarily thinking in the way of dog or in the exact way in which it forms thoughts and questions within its mind. You are actually controlling its environment by giving its name. Therefore, it is responding to you because of its need or because of its valued impression of your relationship that you have with it. The problem is with human beings is, and I am the same as well, in that I see an animal form and I have a name for it. I regard it because I note that human beings have brought about this description of type and form and what family it relates to and how it came to be, how it genetically mutated into that form. You, as a spirit being having a physical human existence, cannot deny that the march of progress in the human state has been such that animal forms have been named by human beings. It doesn't mean to say those beings reflect that name or understand it or even have any connotation. Who are you talking about? You talking about me? See? It may actually deny the fact that you are talking about it, but only relates to the fact that you are talking about it because it, you keep repeating its name every so and...
A lot of dogs do that anyway.
Well, yes, quite so. You understand, but...
Selective hearing, I
yes, think it's Yes, exactly, quite so. Yes, and horses too, I understand.
Yes.
Can be most ignorant at times, and yet at other times will respond to it in kind, almost immediately. But that is because of environmental circumstance, not because it necessarily understands what you have just called it. It just hears tones. It hears inflection, endearing quality, perhaps
more than the name you have given it. So it is about your harmonization with that animal that it is responding to, not the name or type you have referred to it as being in its presence. I hope you understand that.
Yes, thank you. But do dogs think of God as being a dog? Or like horses think of the ultimate horse? Do they have such like ideals that are in their own images?
Ideals in their own images, that's an interesting point, friend. And one I feel that I have to address, after all. Does a horse regard God? Does it see God in the same image that human beings try to see God as being in the image of themselves? Perhaps the God of horse feels it is God. And who can deny it? When you look at a horse in its pure perfection, in its eyes, in its skin tone, in whatever markings that it has, however it was genetically formed, the same with any animal, surely you are looking at the perception of what God is in that animal species form. You are not alluding to it as being something alien, therefore cannot possibly be a part of what God is, because the problem happens to be that human beings have already depicted what God is, possibly in their understanding on insight, as that God is something in the form of human beings. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Because they have perhaps been told or formulated that that is not an opinion, but a requisite to being a human being. You must understand that to recognize God is to recognize yourself.
So do animals recognize God?
Creation is understood in many animal groups and types and forms. Creation to them is not necessarily God in the image of a human being, or God in the image necessarily of a plant or a tree, because that may be the animal's staple food. Does, if the animal itself has the perception of there being God, does it necessarily mean that it continues that conscious state in the spirit world? Well, yes, it does, if it happens to be that an animal contemplates that amount of perception in its reality. Of course, you must understand that very many beings, different animal types and forms, do actually meditate, do have times when they are without perception necessarily of physical state reality, but instead are residing within the journey of their spirit self, not some astral body, but actually their spirit self have returned to the spirit world briefly for some journey or for some contemplation of who or what they are. Human beings cannot necessarily define a part of what their perception must be. Unfortunately, human beings take it upon themselves to regress different animals' consciousness ability into the development of their brain activity or their psionic wave activity, some other aspect of their mental capability which allows them the fruit of conscious thought to develop.
So a lot of people don't acknowledge God as being in any image.
Yes, I understand that.
And that you know, the universal life force, creator, whatever. So really, animals would be in the same vein, wouldn't they? Specifically, or especially if they are close to the earth.
Yes, quite so, of course. And they actually regard God or creator as being the pure life force energy of spirit. And that is the energy that they see. When they see another being, they are not only seeing the physical being, they are seeing their spirit as well, their illumination. Now, does that mean to say that having seen that illumination, it means they are not going to go and eat them if they are the food staple food group that they would normally eat? But the point is that they have been designed that way. That is the
rationale with which they interact with their environment, which is how they live. You cannot take one away from the other and say that they, therefore, by living in this rationale, they cannot possibly have a conscious thought memory or an understanding of God. It just means that they have to deal and cope with this other activity in their life, which enables them to survive.
Which is the same as what we're doing, really.
It is exactly the same. It's just that you aren't going out and killing a cow every few weeks in order to eat it.
Somebody else is doing it
for you and neatly wrapping up that particular food in a neat packaging so that you don't have to go through that rigor of life. Does that mean to say then that you have failed the conquest of conscious thought reality about that particular aspect of your life? No, it actually means that it is conveniently placed away from you in a physical way so that you don't have to think about it. It still happens.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, John.
Love and light.
Good night. We're all nocturnal animals.
Sorry?
We're nocturnal animals on this show.
Agree?
Nocturnal animals, friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a very similar way, I do not see that there is a difference. It does not have any bearing or meaning upon their life as to whether they inhabit the daylight or the night.
Right.
It does not mean to say that they are creatures of any lesser activity. In fact, they are some most beautiful examples of the creation of all is, who exist at night. The problem happens to be related perhaps to people's fear of what night time brings. This is actually a feeling, an infral feeling, of the situation of cellular memory from the time when human beings relied more solely upon the night as being something which actually brought about a sense of fear in their own reality, because they would have to perhaps keep a fire burning, or perhaps they lived in caves in order to protect themselves
mm-hmm.
from the beasts of the night. Doesn't really infer anything apart from the fact that there are animals who live at night, and that human beings have a natural identity to the perceptions that the night brings something of darkness and fear, of something unseen. That is actually a conscious cellular memory from the time when human beings first evolved on the earth plane. So it is a primal fear that human beings have, not a rational one necessarily, something that some human beings are, it is a fear that may be more heightened in some human beings, and because they are more sensitive to that response from cellular consciousness, that is something that they are reacting to. It is nothing to do with a previous past life or any other life that they have led, none other dealings that they have actually had in any kind of conscious effort in either the physical state reality or in the ether world. It is something which is born from the genetic conscious memory.
Okay. Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by the trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and our show tonight is about animal orientation. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 877-876-5227. And that's a free phone number, 877-876-5227. You mentioned earlier on that some people, even children, have a divine and incredible link to animals.
Yes.
And that this was probably because they were interacting with them before, when they were in the spirit world, before they were born here.
Yes.
So that leads me to think about how, so do people look after them then in the spirit world?
Yes, well, It's funny, isn't it? How that, and I do not admonish you at all in any way, my dear friend, but it is so sweet that human beings would naturally think that animals would have to have a human being looking after them in the spirit world, because it is obvious, isn't it obvious, that the spirit world is a human domain?
Well, yes.
When,
it's because we have to feed them here. We have
yes.
to make sure that they have food or give them
yes.
an environment where they can get their own food
yes.
and all that sort of thing. And if they get ill, we have to treat them because they die.
I understand. I do understand. I sympathize most directly, friend. What I'm saying is that what happens is that animals in the spirit world do not necessarily have to be shepherded by human beings in any event. They do not have to be brought to the feet of a human being, perhaps, who is sitting, meditating or something like that. An animal is not brought to the group, a pet, a beloved one, who has passed previously by someone called a beastmaster. He's not some human being who is assigned to that task necessarily in human form, that they look after this collection or this selection of beings from this specific soul group. It is in fact that they are usually brought by one of their own who may be in an advantageous position of consciousness, in order to bring them to this meeting place, this time of your meditation, in which you are feeling your animal close to you, that your loved being in fur is, as it were, expressing its delight around you, at being with you, at your recognition of its energy, and that in by doing this, you are actually raising your vibration and it is responding to you. It hasn't been brought by another human being. It has been brought by another being from its own soul group, probably another being of the same type. It may, on the other hand, not have been brought at all by another being, but simply made its own journey, left its own soul group of its own accord, and wished to be with you at that time. As I say, not at the behest of some beastmaster handler, but at the behest of its own energy, its own reference to the love relationship that had been between you, that continues to flourish between you and it. And this is exactly the same, not necessarily for a dog. It can be for a cat, a horse, a rabbit, a fish, a mouse, a rat, an iguana, or a snake. It depends entirely upon what the being is that you have cherished in your life. It may even be a spider, or grasshopper, or stick insect. I understand they are quite popular.
So it doesn't follow that it should be the animal, that the animal would be able to be more demonstrative than others. Because you just mentioned a spider, and I don't know how
does a spider
show its affection?
Exactly. Yes, well, quite. That is purely because you do not think in the term of spider.
Yes. Well,
and
so
therefore you
the
would
vibration.
Not know. Obviously, for many people observing a spider, they would think their term of affection was by killing its mate. Not that much of a term of affection that human beings relate to. But that actually isn't anything to do with affection. It is to do with their requisite environmental act. It is to do with how they are genetically engineered and brought about into life.
Okay, so, but what about in the spirit world? Do we mix with them? Because you mentioned that we were mixing with them in the spirit world before we came here.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Well, quite simply, it is through manifestation. So, we move to this pathway of who desires it. It may be that the animal itself desires manifestation with you as a being in the spirit world. Do not forget that you are
of pure light when you are in the spirit world as a pure form before you had a physical journey. And it may mean that during these interludes of time that you express desire or that they express desire to be with you. Perhaps because of some indication from you that, or from them, that either one of you would benefit by this liaison. Perhaps it is to do with a vibration intensity. Perhaps it is to do with the orientation of harmony which exists within your pure form and their pure form. It then means this harmony has an attraction. The attraction is not on an animalistic level, it is on a pure harmonic level. And so you actually become like poles in a magnet. You become attracted to one another because of the shared harmony understanding that you have. This is exactly the same as the shared harmony understanding you have with other beings, perhaps someone else from your soul group, or someone else in your physical life that is not necessarily an attraction in a physical way, in one of those ways of...
You think something's pretty or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes,
or...
quite so. It isn't to do with that. It is to do with the relationship of the activity, of the connotation of what that being is doing or how they are behaving or, yes, these are endearing qualities that human beings and other beings find which are cohesive to one another, harmonic to one another. They raise the vibration level because you can see another species or another type or form doing something which is beautiful, beautifying to their form, something which you see within them that you would like to observe in yourself for the purpose of recognition of your harmony. It is because spirit generally have a real and genuine need to want to blend with one another, to want to be in harmony with one another. Unfortunately, these human beings, because of the close proximity of living together, they have come to be
the opposite,
and have great difficulty in blending with harmony with one another because they find different qualities or traits so jarring, so absolutely difficult for them to take because they find that the harmonic is incompatible.
Yes, well, I think it's when things are in short supply that people start fighting over things. It's a bit like the dog that has one bone on the floor and growls at every time you walk past it. Well, you know, chuck 20 down there and then you'll be okay.
Yes,
I mean?
Yes, quite so, yes. Yes.
So,
of course, it won't know which one to pick up
well,
next.
Well, exactly, you know, I mean, yeah.
And it'll just end up in sitting there with a big grin on its face.
Or a fluffy toy. Well, you know, give it a dozen.
Yes, quite so.
And then it won't, you know.
Yes.
But it's that sort of thing, isn't it? We're short of space, and when things are short, when anything's short in this material world, then that makes the friction a lot more stressful between us. And I guess it's having nothing to fight over that we can't imagine, I guess, being human beings.
Yes. Again, that appears to come from some form of genetic throwback. And having said that, I don't want people to then go out and think that it's perfectly all right for them to be violent and angry and everything else, because it is a genetic throwback and therefore a natural constituent of their inbreeding. People need to have and be familiar with harmony. And in the spirit world, what happens is that you can be familiar within that harmonic with very many different types of animal form. Some of these relationships, of course, are very memorable and very deep-seated, perhaps because you have found as a being, or they have found as a being, a particular benefit in that relationship. Have you ever wondered why it is that certain animals of very differing groups of specific genetics
have actually come together and learned to live with one another in a very harmonic way. And it is actually partly because of learned behavior, but it is also because of their parity in their soul groups and the interaction that they have had in the spirit world before they had a physical existence. So you may have a dog getting on very well with a cat and a mouse and some other creatures that you would never expect them to agree with. But that is actually not just because of the relationship that they have built, but also because of their remembrance of the relationship that they may have had whilst in the spirit world before they had their physical journey.
Okay, so all these individual animals have, more or less, have their own soul groups.
Yes, it depends, of course.
Yes.
How divided that species has become.
Yes. But what do they do?
What all do they do with their time?
Yes.
Well, the point is that they do many things that they still will do in the physical state reality. They won't necessarily hunt in the same way that they would in the physical state reality because they don't need to. But what they do is they are in a state of being, of is, which is actually why animals are far more harmonic than human beings tend to be, because human beings are always searching or observing, trying to find something else to satisfy the need, because they do not know how to be within. But animals do know how to be within. They are able to sit very still and very quiet for very long periods of time without doing anything on the surface. Perhaps they are meditating. Perhaps they are doing some other increasing situation for their consciousness. Thought is a very real and living thing. And to many animals, thoughts will change and alter, not depending upon genetics, but will depend upon relationships that they form between one another in their soul group, and will also be to do with relationships that they form with other beings in other soul groups. So just because a dog is a dog in the spirit world doesn't mean to say that they will stay within the soul group of dog. They may go and visit other beings.
Yes.
And relate to them.
Hmm.
They don't necessarily think about what shopping they had to go and do or what different animals that they were preparing to catch and eat, because as I say, they don't need to do that.
Mm.
They are spirit, pure and simple.
Yes, it's difficult, like, once again, mere mortal, that, you know, you can't imagine the landscape that they live in, you know. I mean, they're used to having a couch to jump up on, and a park to play in, and things like that, or whatever it is. I mean, do fish swim in their soul group? Do birds fly in their soul group? You know?
I understand. Where is the air? Where is the water in which they swim?
Yes, because
yes,
you've said
quite
before
so.
that being inhuman, you can create all these things with your mind, and you have to learn how to do that.
Well, yes, that is true. But the point is that, so for example, in the soul group of dog, before a dog has a physical existence, it is in the purest form of dog. Therefore, it is in the vibration and the illumination of that species. It hasn't yet been assigned the cellular memory of the species specific after it has had a physical journey. Therefore, it is pure spirit. It is only that it has the inflection of that spirit. Do you see?
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to look and observe. It doesn't need to think about what, in the way that it is, has behaved to date, because it is behaving as pure spirit, but in in an animal form.
But
a fish, for example, thank you, a fish, for example, will be a pure spirit light. It won't necessarily think that it has to swim in water because there is none. Although it may manufacture, manifest water for itself to be in. Alternately, it may, as a pure spirit form, move within the oceans of the deep of your side of life. Not that it will have the sensation of water or anything of the molecular structure of water, because it is pure spirit. But it may actually look and observe it. What, with eyes? No, with its consciousness. Because it doesn't have eyes yet. Yes?
Yes.
It is still pure spirit, in exactly the same way that you as a human being, when in the spirit world, before you had a human existence, were pure spirit, are pure spirit as a part of what God is. You do not necessarily have eyes, although because you are an attractive part of the soul group of who you are, you may have them, even if you do not genetically have them yet, because you haven't had a physical journey. You may have representations of what they may be, because you are part of that soul group. Yes? Does that mean to say that spirit are assigned a specific soul group? And at what part, what point in spirit's journey does spirit split from God or is a part of what God is? The answer is that all spirit are from the ocean sea. The ocean sea is an aspect of creation. The living tissue, symbiology of vibration and intensity of beauty and love is what the purity sea is. And it is this love which splits into fractions of itself and becomes pure spirit in its own defined wisdom and way of being. It is then that pure spirit is attracted to different forms and relates to one specific form more than another, and therefore it has come and found its soul group, its place of harbor and extreme love, of a love that you cannot imagine can exist in physical form.
Okay, so when we lose our pets, say for instance, in the wild as well, we hope that they're going to be met by somebody. Somebody's going to greet them. Like
somebody is going to pat it and make it better.
Know. Yeah, somebody's going to greet them on the other side.
Yes.
Maybe one of our relatives or whatever.
Yes, particularly if it is an animal, as you say, to do with a pet relationship,
yes.
A loved relationship.
Yes. So what happens when a pet passes?
So what happens then when a pet passes is, to begin with, it will be greeted by those loved ones from your side of life, genetic family, or whosoever you would feel would have regard for this animal as being an important part of your life. What would then happen to it would be that it would be cared for, in a sense, by people from your family group. It will be petted and all of that. It will be helped in its journey. It will be loved as well, perhaps, by the different members of your family group in the spirit world. And then the animal itself will be drawn toward its own soul group, to going home. And that is exactly what it will do. It will just get up and leave, and it will journey itself to the soul group of its harbor.
But it won't stay there all the time.
It will
still mix with the loved ones as well and come to visit people on Earth.
Yes, absolutely so.
Who are still living and that sort of thing.
That is quite true, yes. It really means a soul group. Really means that it is your harbor of love. It isn't that your harbor of love is necessarily within your specific family. Your harbor of love is to do with your soul group, is to do with your species type or form. Now, as I have previously explained, in human beings, species type and form is so complex because of the rich diversity and nature of characteristic typically means that there are many different soul groups for that particular species of which I am a part. The species
that is the multifaceted part of whale, for example, is also some form of species which has a great facet of personality and character. Therefore, it means it itself has a very diverse part of natural form in the spirit world. It has many different soul groups, the same too do porpoises and dolphins. So perhaps you can see now that when your pet passes, yet it will spend some time with your family group, but it will also spend a great deal of time in its own soul group, becoming familiar once again with its pattern of harmony. It doesn't mean to say that it will become angry or something like that. It won't necessarily derive the animalistic instincts that you would see perhaps in the primary species. For example, wolf can become violent, can naturally be that way because it has to tear its prey apart in order to live. It isn't violent by choice. It isn't something which it likes to be. It just has to be in order to survive. It isn't something which sets animals apart from human beings. Rather, it is something which human beings set themselves apart from the natural course of the harmonic of animals, in that they will kill an animal for the love of it and not for the pressures of demanding food that it needs to eat.
Yes, absolutely. So would our pets look like our pets when we see them? And
yes.
Okay. Do they look like them? Do they still look like that when they're in their soul group? Can you see when you look at the soul group of a certain animal, do they all look individual?
Yes, absolutely so, because their vibrations are still different.
Okay.
That is particularly true, of course, of those beings who have already had a physical life. What then of those beings who have not yet had
absolutely.
A physical life and are still waiting in the purest, pure form of spirit they are? Well, it actually means they too have a connotation. They have a marking, if you like, of the harmony in which they belong. So it may be that you may have conversed with a being who was of pure form, but yet to have an animal form existence, and you still conversed with it. It would have had a marking or an aspect of itself which indicated that it was of that specific form and type. Perhaps it has a great deal of hair or something like that.
Mm.
It had a coat of the same form, you see, but it wasn't completely covering all of it. It may have just been the part it wanted to exhibit to you.
Okay. So what about the animals, the ones that haven't had, say let's stick to the dogs at the moment.
Yes.
So you go to the soul group and you see all the dogs and you see the ones that have had a physical life because they actually look like the particular breed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, quite so, yes.
All right. The other ones that haven't, are they just energy?
They are energy, but they also have an indication of the kind of form that they will be. So they will have perhaps some coloration of hair, or some coloration of marking, perhaps of a particular form of face that they would wish to represent. Because they are attracted to that specific form, you see?
Oh, right, that was going to be my question.
Yes.
Would one dog, you know...
Yes.
Would it be potluck? Shall I be a Springer Spaniel? Shall I be a...
Oh, I feel like
a Labrador or
yes.
a Retriever or whatever. Yes.
No, it isn't that way. It is because they are attracted to that specific type or form.
Okay.
That is how they wish to display themselves,
okay.
You see. In very much the same way that human beings sometimes will pick the avenue, not of their life plan journey or all of that, but will pick their avenue of description, perhaps, of genetic description, who it is that they wish to veer toward in order to be. To have that physical experience, you see, and therefore they will begin to depict that form in the, even in the purity of the spirit light. They will depict that form, a slight coloration perhaps,
if it is a skin color, perhaps it is to do with the hair color, something like that, something which is actually a natural revelation, even though they may not yet have even understood or undertaken a relationship with a specific parentage or genetic offspring. It doesn't mean to say that a spirit in pure form will necessarily pick the parent, but they may well have an insight into who they are, who their attraction is toward, for a specific purpose or intention that spirit in purity has at that time of their understanding. And do not forget that their understanding at this juncture will be just as huge and enormous as you would expect spirit to be, because of the relationship of spirit with all other beings in the spirit world, and of course with the ultimate of creation is, as is revealed to them and by them in their issuing status, in how they are appearing themselves to one another. It is not something, oh, I see that you have been assigned that type of species or form. How cruel for you. You see, there isn't this same exchange and wishing to compartmentalize people or things into a caste or into an apparition of what they need to be. It isn't that form of preparation, because there is no ego involved and no I am, but there is only the state of pure is, pure being, reigns supreme in the spirit world.
Okay, well, fantastic.
Thank you so.
That's been wonderful. We've come to time now, though.
With love and light, as always, dear friend.
Okay.
Upon your journey. Good day.
Good day, Gregory. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.thespirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us, our books and CDs. And as Mick said at the beginning, we're going to be doing Akashic readings very soon. You can also purchase our merchandise from bookstores and at Amazon.com. And as well as Spirit's Work on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on ArtistFirst.com on Tuesdays. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you for your calls. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.